Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing. One retired cop returns.
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Live from the Play Show Yet Not Overly Ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming on YouTube, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. Jay Gruden going to stop by an hour 20 from now. The crew back together in our New York City headquarters. Samter very happy about his Kansas City Chiefs being world champions. Stuart Kovacs probably miserable because it's a Chiefs team that continues to not only dominate the AFC West, but dominate the AFC and dominate the NFL landscape. Congratulations to Kansas City. First off, I'd like to thank the listening audience for participating all throughout last week. I thought we had five kick-ass shows in Las Vegas. I know they are different shows with how many guests we do put on, but I thought the interaction on the air, in person, and also online was absolutely phenomenal. And I say this all the time, we have one of the best crews in radio. And to see what Stu did here back in New York City, Samter did on site, was very, very pleased with the week that we had on Radio Row in Las Vegas. But let's get to the game, and we'll have 3 hours to break it down. There's so many different things that we could talk about. I don't want to put the Chiefs on the back burner because Mahomes is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Andy Reid is one of the greatest coaches of all time. Travis Kelce is one of the greatest tight ends of all time. And the Chiefs are now officially an NFL dynasty. You need three championships to be a dynasty. And they now have three championships. And we know that the Chiefs are really going nowhere because, let's just be real about it, this was a quote-unquote vulnerable Chiefs team. And they've been vulnerable the last 2 years, ever since losing Tyreek Hill, and they haven't had a rock star at the wide receiver position. There's been moments, especially this year, when this team has looked human and it was trending in a direction where they wouldn't be in the Super Bowl or winning the Super Bowl. And it just shows you, when you have an opportunity to take out the champs, you got to find a way to do so. And whether it was Buffalo, whether it was Baltimore, or the Niners last night, the Chiefs in the postseason and in the regular season were begging someone to take the crown off their head. And no one was able to do that. And when you allow Patrick Mahomes to be in striking distance, he is 9.9 times out of 10 going to come through. And that's my biggest takeaway from this game. It's nothing against Kansas City. Kansas City deserved to be world champions. We will talk about them a lot during the next 3 hours and a lot for probably the next 10 to 15 years of football, because as long as number 15 is upright, they will always have a chance. They will always be the most feared team. And quite frankly, they should be the favorite year in and year out. But I start today's show just absolutely lambasting Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers. And we'll get into the overtime decision later, because I personally had no problem with him taking the ball first in overtime. That's not even where my root of the frustration comes with Kyle Shanahan's team. But how many times is this guy, who many people think invented football, and I've got crushed for years for just calling him a good coach, and not a great head coach. But how many times are you going to be in the big game and be in the big game with a double-digit lead and you can't find a way to get the job done? And Kansas City was basically begging in the first half for them to be put out of their misery. You had Travis Kelce fighting Andy Reid. Isaiah Pacheco fumbled the football after a huge Patrick Mahomes play. You had a Mahomes intentional grounding. Kansas City took a penalty coming out of the two-minute warning. And you're only able to walk into halftime, the 49ers, with the seven-point lead right at half. Even though it appeared that the 49ers were clearly the better team, you knew that this was going to be a good finish. You knew that Kansas City was not only in the game, but had a great chance to win the game because the Niners had many opportunities to distance themselves from Kansas City, and they couldn't do that. And at the end of regulation, and then also in overtime, that basically shows you that the 49ers can't win the big game because San Francisco was able to matriculate the ball down the field in the final 7 minutes, and they stalled in the red zone, had to settle for a field goal. And with under 2 minutes to go, Mahomes almost put the ball in the end zone, and the Niners were lucky that they held him to a field goal. And then in overtime, you're moving the football down the field, you stall once again, you had to settle for a field goal, and once when Mahomes got the ball back, you know, my cousin texted me, and he goes, you know he's putting the ball in the end zone, and he did that to Mecole Hardman. And of course, it's a freaking Jet, a guy that was on the Jet to start the year, the Jets, that ends up getting the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. But today, San Francisco 49ers fans should be sick, they should be miserable, they should be furious, and quite frankly, their heads should be exploding. Because you had that game won. That was a winnable game. And you were the better team for the majority of the game. But when you allow Kansas City to still be in striking distance, it is a recipe for disaster. And look how quickly that game changed. Just in one moment, one snap of a finger, where you have a punt that goes up in the air, and it hits off of, and I didn't realize this live in the stadium, and a lot of people didn't realize it on TV, but it hit off a 49ers player, and then I thought at first the 49ers returner just went for it. I'm like, what are you doing? Because that's one of those Peter plays that they always teach, like, stay away, stay away, stay away. But he saw that the ball hit off a 49ers player, and he had to go make a play on the football. And Kansas City got a fortuitous bounce, they recovered the football, and then boom, Marquez Valdez-Scantling was wide open for a touchdown. When Kansas City took the lead, you just felt a feeling resonate throughout the stadium. Uh-oh, the boogeyman is back. Uh-oh, here comes the Kansas City Chiefs again. Because Kansas City, in the first half, was lethargic. Mahomes at times looked like he was rattled and he was shook by how great that defense was. He threw a terrible interception. And even when they were moving the ball, Pacheco fumbled the football after that big Mahomes play. But there was many moments. There was just like an enormous amount of moments where the Niners could have really distanced themselves. And I know you never count Mahomes out, but you could have put Mahomes in a deep hole and it was going to be tough. And it was going to be an extremely hard uphill battle for him to climb out of it. But anytime it looked like the Niners were going to find a way to distance themselves, they just stumbled and fell before getting the ball in the end zone. And you know what? When you go up against Mahomes and he makes mistakes, you have to capitalize. They didn't get any points off the interception. I know the fumble by Pacheco wasn't his fault, but the Niners didn't turn that into points. You can't up against that team, that coach, that quarterback, that tight end, and also that defensive coordinator. Because we all know how legendary Steve Spagnuolo Spags is as a defensive coordinator. When you're going up against those four guys, Reed, Mahomes, Kelce, and Spagnuolo, you just can't find a way to make mistakes and to not capitalize off of their mistakes. And Travis Kelce did nothing in the first half. Mahomes at times looked human in the first half. Andy Reid was getting into a kerfuffle that was started by Travis Kelce in the first half. And what did the 49ers have to show for it? A measly 7-point lead? The Kansas City Chiefs, and the Niners know this, they were once down 10 with 7.5 to play in a Super Bowl. The first time these two teams met up in a Super Bowl. So being down 7 at halftime and getting the ball back was nothing for Kansas City. And still with that being said, it took a bounce and a lucky bounce off a punt return where when that ball gets recovered by Kansas City and then boom, they put the ball in the end zone, that's a difference. When the Niners made mistakes or when the Niners didn't have something go their way, Kansas City made them pay. The Niners couldn't make Kansas City pay when the Niners were the recipient of Kansas City mistakes. And that's the difference. Because if I would have told you that first half did go, and I would have told you about the fumble and the interception by Kansas City, you would have felt like that was a recipe for the Niners to win the game. And now we sit here, another year goes by, the dynasty is now in full force with Kansas City. They're the first team to win back-to-back championships since the Patriots did it in Super Bowl 38 and Super Bowl 39. And you'll continue to see this run by Kansas City only get better and better and only produce more championships. But for the 49ers, this is now a situation and a moment where you go, where do we go from here? And I'm not advocating, I'm not going to be a dope, I'm not going to be a moron. I'm not advocating for Kyle Shanahan to get fired. But there are certain ways that we view some teams, like, you know, the Dolphins and the Cowboys, where they're like regular season champions, but then come postseason time, they have failures. For the 49ers, they're kind of like those teams, but on steroids a little bit. Like, they'll go win some playoff games, but when they get to the biggest game, they will not only find a way to lose, but they will find a way to lose in just gut-wrenching and heartbreaking fashion. You know, think about the three times Shanahan has been in a Super Bowl. Him as an offensive coordinator with the Falcons, they're up 28-3. He refused to run the football. They blew the Super Bowl. Up 10 against the Kansas City Chiefs with 7.5 to play a few years ago. Didn't get the job done. And then also they were up 10 at one point in the first half and couldn't get the job done. And that's the crazy part to me. It's these teams that aren't able to execute against Kansas City. They do things that they've never done any other moment, and they just crumble and fold. Like, look at the times this year in the postseason. Kansas City was able to be had. Like, they're against the Bills, against the Ravens, and then against the 49ers, they were saying, hey, you guys want to be the champs? You want the Lombardi Trophy? Come take it. They were welcoming that. And the Bills on that final drive couldn't get the job done. The Ravens, after shutting out Kansas City in the second half, still couldn't get the job done. And then the 49ers, who had control of the game. They had control of the game. They weren't able to pounce when you had a Kansas City team that did not look great in that first half. And also, I know they're dealing with injuries, but we talk about the weapons of the 49ers. Deebo Samuel, under 50 total yards. George Kittle, I think, had 2 catches in the game. How do you have a team that is that talented? And they probably should have used more of a run CMC in the second half, at least running the football. And Purdy wasn't awful, but he wasn't great in the game. But you have Deebo and Kittle as well. And what the heck happened? Those two great players came up small in a big game. And that's just unacceptable. Because Kittle's one of the better tight ends in football. Deebo Samuel is one of the more explosive players and versatile players in the NFL. And those two guys were a non-factor. Like, Kansas City, on offense, when you look at the entire unit, doesn't have more talent than the Niners. Yeah, sure, you'd rather have Mahomes over Purdy, duh. Kelce is slightly a better tight end than George Kittle. Where you look at where their games are both at, like, they're two of the best tight ends in the sport. Kelsey's better. But you look at all the other options. I like Isaiah Pacheco, but McCaffrey's better. The Chiefs wide receivers, nothing to really jump for joy about. The Niners have Ayuk, Debo, Jennings, who had a good game too. There are so many more talented players on the Niners compared to the Chiefs. But the Chiefs have championship DNA. That's the difference. The Chiefs have championship experience. The Niners, they get to a big game and they urinate down their left leg. And I'll start to make a comparison. The Niners are starting to feel like the Buffalo Bills that got to four straight Super Bowls and lost them all. They're there. And I know the Niners have only been to two Super Bowls. They've been to other NFC championship games, though. They are there in the final four. And they just find a way to lose it year in and year out. They find a way to fold year in and year out. And it's not as if they're not in these games. They're usually in control of these games. And they never get the job done to hoist that Lombardi trophy. That's a reflection on their coach and Kyle Shanahan. And Kyle Shanahan has been vastly overrated as a head coach. I'm not saying he stinks. I'm not saying he sucks. The guy is a really good head coach, but there is a difference in being a really good head coach and a great head coach. And until Kyle Shanahan wins the big one, he should be referred to as a good head coach who can't win the big game. And that's a problem. Because you don't know how much longer this window, as players are getting older, is open for the 49ers. They've been through the grind the last 4 or 5 years. They've been really, really, really close. And they have nothing to show for it. And I'm fascinated to see what the future of the San Francisco 49ers has in store for us. Because a moment like last night, it feels like they're just never going to be able, with this group, with this brain trust, with this core, they're never going to be able to find the way to jump over the finish line. They'll get really close to the finish line, and then they'll just face plant right as they're about to cross it and let the other team pass them by. And the team passing them by is Mahomes. It's the Chiefs. It's Andy Reid. It's Travis Kelce. It's Steve Spagnuolo and many others. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Here's our poll question today. Your first reaction to Super Bowl 58. Is it the 49ers blew it or Patrick Mahomes is just insane? Early returns, 54.4% say Patrick Mahomes is just insane. My first reaction, though, it's taking nothing away from Mahomes, it's that the 49ers blew it. And you could just add this to the script and the long script of games the 49ers could have won, but they failed to get the job done, even when things were looking like it was going their way. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we got to have a little bit of a GOAT conversation when it pertains to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. Zach Gelb Show off and running on a very busy Monday. Jay Gruden going to stop by in a little over an hour from now. You don't want to miss it. We got a whole lot more to do talking about Super Bowl 58.
Listen up. I won't sugarcoat it. This is the longest cold, flu, and allergy season we've ever seen, but we're not alone. We've got Instacart. Sure, you may be a coughing snot faucet who just wants mommy, but you're not giving up! Not when cold medicine, fragrant herbal teas, and honey shaped like bears can be delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes! Now let's go win the sick playoffs!
Daddy, I just want my soup.
Oh, sorry, Sport app says it'll be here in a few minutes. Instacart for the win.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
All righty, this is Zach Gilb's show on CBS Sports Radio. I would say entering this NFL season, if we did a topic, who are the three greatest quarterbacks of all time? I think a lot of people's lists would look like this. Brady 1, Montana 2, and then I would probably say Peyton Manning in at number 3. I think a lot of lists, especially people that are anywhere from, let's say, 30 to 50, in that range, or 20 to 50, would probably say those are the three greatest quarterbacks of all time. But after this year by Patrick Mahomes and another Super Bowl championship by Patrick Mahomes, I think in the moment right now, with still many years to go, I think the take today is that Patrick Mahomes has moved past Peyton Manning. And I think Patrick Mahomes is now the third greatest quarterback of all time. And he could go higher than that. You know, and that's obviously not a hot take, and I don't think that's a bold take. Because as great as Peyton Manning was in the regular season, come playoff time, I know he eventually won 2 Super Bowls, but there was a lot of postseason blunders by number 18. And already in a 6-year run, we, as Mahomes being a starting quarterback, we've seen him in 6 AFC championship games. We've seen him in 4 Super Bowls, and he has won 3. And what makes Mahomes so fun is how improbable at times some of these championships are. Where, yeah, you go, Zach, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He's one of the craziest talents you've ever seen. But look at the way that they've trailed in these games. You know, you look at the 4 Super Bowls, they weren't able to complete a comeback or get anywhere close up against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. But in the other 3 Super Bowls, they were down double digits and came back and won. In all 4 Super Bowls Mahomes has been in, they've been down double digits and they still won 3 out of 4. We talked about the Niners, the first one being down 10 with 7.5 to go. We know at halftime they trailed by 10 to the Eagles last year, and then they were down 10 in the first half. And he just finds a way to get the job done. And I don't know about you guys, but in the first half, I thought this game was boring. I thought this game was sloppy. I thought this game was disappointing. And it was kind of reminding me of the second Patriot-Rams Super Bowl, where you knew who the better team was. And the game, you looked at the score, it didn't feel like a reflection of what was going on. And that's what happened with the Niners. The Niners clearly looked like the better team in the first half. But then you looked up at the scoreboard and you said, this game is far from over. Now, the difference between that Patriots-Rams Super Bowl compared to the 49ers and Chiefs, Jared Goff was the quarterback for the Rams. The quarterback for the Chiefs, the team that was trailing, is Patrick Mahomes. But it's just wild to see in such a short stretch, not only the winning that Mahomes has done, but the memorable moments, because sometimes you could win, but the moments don't totally like resonate in your mind. But the jaw-dropping moments that Mahomes has provided with however many times they've been down. Like, look at all the AFC Championship game against the Buffalo Bills, the AFC Division round up against the Buffalo Bills. You go up against the Texans when they were down by 20-something points. There's a laundry list. All the Super Bowls being down by at least 10 points. And to see how many championships they have won, to go to 4 Super Bowls and to win 3, it's bonkers. It is absolutely bonkers. And from a talented standpoint, Mahomes is one of the greatest quarterbacks you've ever seen. No crap. But now, already in such a young stretch, he has elevated himself where, let's just say he retires tomorrow, he would instantly be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Instantly. And that's not even a debate. That's not even a question. And now when you look at let's say, the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks. He was probably on his way to having the statue being built, but now he's definitely on it. And he's not four. He's in the top three. Now, Montana, we all know the legendary Joe Montana, and he has four Super Bowls. Mahomes wins his next one, and he'll win his next one. He's better than Montana. And the one guy that will always be a great conversation is Tom Brady. Because you guys know me, I'm a Brady fan. Mahomes had more pure talent than Tom Brady. But Brady has won seven Super Bowls. And not only that, here's the thing that Brady will always have, and Mahomes even said it after the game. Brady beat Mahomes in his 40s in a Super Bowl and then also an AFC Championship game. But this is going to be a crazy heck of a conversation for the next 5 to 10 years to see how many championships Mahomes can win. Because you look at Patrick Mahomes only being 28 years old, like, I don't know how long he's going to play, but kind of now with what Brady did, we now get programmed to say the longevity of a quarterback. We now think, and it's an assumption, and you know what happens when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me, you just assume every quarterback's now going to play until they were 44, 45. That's not going to happen. But a guy like Mahomes, if you could keep him upright, I know he suffered some injuries, but nothing that was season ending, you're looking bare minimum at another 10-year run from 28 to 38. And now we've seen him pull off three championships. I never thought there was going to be a quarterback, another quarterback that would get to seven. But right now, for the foreseeable future, bare minimum, the next 5 years, how don't you pick Kansas City to win the title every year? And I'm not saying they're going to win the title every year. There will be moments when they don't. But the last 2 years, how many times has Kansas City been doubted? How many times have we looked at Kansas City and we've said, wow, they just don't have it this year? Like, think about it. They lost Tyreek Hill, one of the top three wide receivers in football. This past year, he was the best wide receiver in football. And they haven't missed the beat in terms of winning a championship. They won back-to-back championships. And last year, I don't think they were doubted to the level where they were doubted this year. But I doubted Kansas City this year. Like, when they lost that game to the Raiders on Christmas Day, that looked like a team that was shot and was done. But they didn't break. And you're also factoring in, I know some people roll their eyes about this because you'd rather be in the penthouse than the outhouse, but you have to think of the mental grind too with how long their season has gone the last 6 years. And this team was unflappable, and eventually we'll see what this team will look like without a Reed, without a Kelsey. But both of those guys made it clear they're coming on back. But in this league, as long as you have the quarterback, you always have a shot. And not only do the Chiefs have the quarterback, they have by far and away the best quarterback in the sport. And now someone who is a top three quarterback of all time that is zeroing in on Montana. And we're going to see if he's ever going to be able to surpass Tom Brady. And just the fact, knowing how I view Tom Brady, the fact that I'm even saying that there's a chance is crazy. Like, that just shows you how much respect I have for Patrick Mahomes. And you see what the Patriots did for 20 years. I have nothing but respect for Kansas City, because what I saw for 20 years was absolute dominance. And right now, Kansas City getting their third championship, they have the potential to do just as similarly to what the Patriots did for 20 years. And quite frankly, at this point, I think it is absolutely ludicrous. If you look at Kansas City and you don't think that they're eventually going to go get a few more championships, because you see, and it's not like we're in an era. I know it's not Manning and Breeze and Big Ben and all those other great quarterbacks and Rodgers, but you look at the QBs now in the AFC is loaded with QB talent. And still, with all those quarterbacks that they had, the Chiefs still found a way to get to the Super Bowl this year. And even though the Niners had a more well-rounded team going into the Super Bowl, the Niners didn't find a way to win a championship. The Kansas City Chiefs did. And that's also the other thing. And I saw it for 20 years. You have teams that do things that are uncharacteristic when they go up against Kansas City, because Kansas City has that aura. They have that mystique where you know the game is never over, no matter, even if you feel like you're in control. And you keep on giving the ball back to 15. You don't put the ball in the end zone. He'll do what 12 Tom Brady did for so many years. And that's make you pay. And just when you think you have him on the ropes and you're about to deliver the knockout punch, then you have Mahomes punching on back, countering, and eventually he delivers the knockout punch. Samter, go ahead. Oh, look at Samter. He's wearing the big Chiefs hat right now as someone gave that to him on CBS Sports Radio when we were on Radio Row. Man, that hat that you have on your cabeza, it is enormous.
It's a perfect fit. I mean, this hat was meant for my head.
Samter had to put on a knit hat underneath it.
Don't give away my secrets.
Because the hat was like falling over his cabeza. But go ahead. Congratulations, by the way, to your Kansas City Chiefs that you just joined the last year.
Well, later on in the show, we'll get into why I'm not all that excited about it. But that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
Along this conversation, one quick statement, two quick questions.
Okay.
First statement, I think Mahomes has already surpassed Joe Montana. If you want to have the Mahomes versus Brady debate, I'm sure happy to have that with you.
Okay.
But he's beyond Joe Montana already at this point. The second thing, the two questions I'll ask. First question, does Mahomes need to get 7 to be considered greater than Brady? Or can he finish with 5 or 6 and still go down as the GOAT?
In my mind, I think he needs to get to 8.
Because he lost to Brady multiple times.
He lost to Brady in an AFC Championship game, and he lost to Brady in a Super Bowl. And don't get me wrong, Mahomes, from a talent standpoint, had more talent than Tom Brady, right? He had a stronger arm. He's more mobile. But that's what makes Brady, to me, so impressive, is that there were so many things that people knocked on Brady for not having the athleticism or the arm strength and things like that. And he was still able to kick everyone's ass for 20-something years. So, you know, I usually hate these GOAT conversations. I hate doing the Michael Jordan, LeBron James conversation.
You're going to really hit my next question.
I hate the Brady Mahomes conversation. Like, I hate this stuff. I really do. And someone tweeted me, like, last night, you know, you sound hypocritical all throughout the week when you said, I hate talking about Brock Purdy, but then you talked about Brock Purdy. Well, that's my job. Sometimes I don't like the topics we have to talk about, but I have to play the hits. I have to talk about what people want to hear. Doesn't mean I like every topic, but it's not like we're ever going to refuse to talk about it. So what's your next question?
So as much as you hate the GOAT debates and you brought up LeBron MJ, Here's the other question. Is Mahomes closer to Brady or is LeBron closer to MJ when you're talking GOAT debate?
Mahomes is closer to Brady.
Interesting.
Yeah, Mahomes is closer to Brady. Because I think there is a belief that Mahomes is more resembling Brady and Jordan to me. Where when you look at LeBron, as great as LeBron is, and we all know LeBron is one of the greatest players of all time, he's the second greatest player of all time, but look how many championships he's lost. There's been a lot of championships that he's lost, and also he had to bounce around to so many teams. Where Brady won most of his championships with one team. Michael won all of his championships with one team. Mahomes, they're never going to let him leave Kansas City. And if he does, it's going to be for like the last 2 years of his career. It'd be the dumbest thing you could ever do. I was dumb for the Patriots.
You know what, though? You say it as a negative. I feel like winning a championship with multiple different teams and building championship winners on multiple different franchises is as impressive, if not more so, than doing it with one franchise, especially with Jordan, who's had a core of superstars around him during that time.
But what's the most impressive LeBron championship? It's the Cleveland one.
Yeah.
And that's where he started. I know he left and then came back. Miami, he won 2 out of 4. People thought he would have won more than that. And I'll give him honestly, the two most impressive championships for LeBron were Cleveland and then L.A. Because those were the two where people doubted him. In Miami, it was expected. But then there was the championship up against the Mavericks, came up small. You know, he lost one to San Antonio. And see, this is why I hate it, because then you're trying to, like, tear someone down who's one of the great. That's why I hate this conversation. I'm annoyed that you're letting this now be someone that I say that I will never be. But yes, I do think Mahomes is closer to Brady than LeBron is closer to Michael Jordan. It's just the feeling of it. And hey, if like Mahomes goes on to four more Super Bowls and lose three of them, then it's maybe a different conversation. But right now, I don't know how anyone is doubting Mahomes' greatness and is doubting that bear. Like, if I said to you right now, Mahomes wins three more championships. Think about it. Three more championships in the NFL without knowing how much longer Andy Reid's going to coach, without knowing how much longer Travis Kelce's going to coach. I would put him at six. I don't see how this guy does not win at least three more championships. So it's going to be a heck of a conversation. It's going to be fun throughout the years. All right, we'll come on back with the news brief. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Real quickly, though, let me just get to AutoZone here. Do we have AutoZone here? No? Okay, never mind. Ask the pros. It's time to ask the pros. You, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio, at Zach Gelb, using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Be listening later in the show, and we might answer your question. You can thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Here's Zach.
Says here that Graybar is a distributor?
Yeah, we support electrical and datacom projects all over the country.
So you can get me the products I need, where and when I need them?
Yeah, thanks to our national logistics network.
Any industry?
Yeah, construction, industrial plants, schools, hospitals.
So you could say Graybar is much more than a distributor.
Yeah, you could say that. When you need a hand powering, connecting, or maintaining your operations, join the thousands of professionals who rely on Graybar to help keep them up and running. Yeah, Graybar does that.
Make this Valentine's Day one she'll remember forever with an engagement ring from JamesAllen.com. James Allen knows each love story is unique. That's why they make it easy to custom design engagement rings at up to half the price of a traditional jeweler. Choose from tons of conflict-free diamonds, both natural and lab-grown, then pick your ring setting and metal. Shop the James Allen Valentine's Day sale and get 25% off with promo code PODCAST. That's 25% off at jamesallen.com, promo code PODCAST.
It's February, meaning love is in the air and on the free Odyssey app. Whether you're in a relationship, situationship, or single and ready to mingle, the free Odyssey app has you covered this Valentine's Day with exclusive stations to set the mood. Download the free Odyssey app, search and follow 90s Crush to feel like you're in love for the first time. Heartstrings, acoustics of your fave love songs, or pop goes love, the hits that make us fall in love. Consider it a love letter from Odyssey. Your Valentine, your Odyssey.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, Andy Reid, isn't it crazy? You go from the guy that could never win a big game to now all he does is win the big game. And maybe, I don't think this is going to happen, but maybe, just maybe, the way that we talk for Andy Reid for years is going to be the same way that we eventually talk about Kyle Shanahan for years. And then he has this, I don't want to say sort of back end of his career, because I don't think Shanahan will ever win three championships. But what Andy Reid was for kind of the first 20 years of his coaching career is what Kyle Shanahan is now. A guy that is always there, a guy that gets so close, yet so far. And look what happened for Andy Reid. Eventually got Patrick Mahomes, and now, boom, he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. Andy Reid was asked after the game. There's a lot of speculation. And I think some of that started on this show when Mike Florio said it about his future. Will he retire? This is Andy Reid answering that question.
People keep asking me, and I keep saying, why did Belichick and Pete retire? You know, those guys, they ask those old guys the question, but I'm the old guy now, so I guess I'm going to be asked that. And I really haven't gone there. I haven't really thought about it.
Bill and Pete both got fired, for better terms. Bill got fired, and then I know Pete's still with the organization, but he got fired as the head coach. But for Andy Reid, he'd be crazy to walk away now. Because what I just said, for years he was known as the guy that couldn't get the job done. Now you're in this run of being a dynasty. You're not going to tap out now. You know, bare minimum, I think Reid's coaching for another 5 years. I'd be shocked if he doesn't coach until he's 70. I would really be floored by it. Here is Andy Reid on Kyle Shanahan's decision to receive the ball first in overtime.
He's a pretty smart guy, so there's got to be a reason why he did that. Everybody's got their own philosophy on it.
Right.
And I get it. So I don't know if there's a right or wrong way. We felt that you kick off first, but that's here nor there. I mean, that's what we think, but listen, the guy's a great football coach.
So when I get to the new overtime rules for the postseason, I knew that both teams get to possess the football. I didn't know that the clock was basically irrelevant, though. That was the confusing part in the stadium. And then for many people that watched the game on TV, was no one understood the clock. And basically what we learned was the clock was irrelevant. But before I defend Kyle Shanahan, and trust me, I do not like to defend Kyle Shanahan. I've ripped him for the majority of the show so far. Here is Kyle Shanahan on why he wanted the ball first in overtime.
It's just something we talked about with, you know, none of us have a ton of experience of it, but we went through all the analytics and talked to those guys, and we just thought it'd be better. We wanted the ball third. If both teams matched and scored, we wanted to be the ones who had the chance to go win, and we got that field goal, so we knew we had to hold them to at least a field goal, and if we did, then we thought it was in our hands after that.
So the analytics part that I heard him say after the game, too, what analytics are there? We've never seen a Super Bowl go into overtime with these rules. So that's one part of it. But the other thing is, I don't find what Shanahan did to be crazy. And I know people are going to say, well, let's say that the Niners got a touchdown, then the Chiefs, if they got a touchdown, they probably go for two in the win. Fair. That's still a gutsy decision. And I know it's Mahomes. You still got to convert the 2 yards. We've seen crazier things happen. But I understood what Shanahan was doing. First off, his defense needed a break. But then secondly, you get the ball first. They just didn't get the ball in the end zone. But then the Chiefs get the ball back. Let's say they get another touchdown and they kick the extra point. Then you're driving to go win the game. So I didn't think it was a wrong decision. And think about it the other way. What happens if, let's say, Kansas City got a field goal and they had the ball first? Then the Niners get the ball and they do what they did the entire game. They stalled and settled for the field goal. Then Mahomes is getting the ball back for the third time. And he's driving. All he has to do is get into field goal range to win the game. So I didn't have a problem with it with Kyle Shanahan. And I know it's easy for everyone to say, oh, just be aggressive. I'll just go for it all the time. Well, when you're playing for a Super Bowl and there's maybe a chance where you could tie or take the lead, it's a tough decision. So I'm fine. Like, Santer, I'm fine with taking the ball first in overtime. I didn't find that to be an egregious decision because people are saying, oh, it's like college. It's like college. It's not. Because it's possession, possession, and then sudden death after that. I thought playing for the third possession was a good call by Shanahan.
I actually didn't have an issue with it either, except it sounds like the third possession wouldn't have happened because the Chiefs said they would have gone for the two.
Yes.
But even in that case, now you're basically saying, okay, we get the ball first. We can decide, you know, we can figure out what we're going to do. The Chiefs, if they tie us with a touchdown or whatever it is, they're going to have to make that call.
Yeah.
Of the two-point conversion.
And Andy Reid said they would have gone for two. I was reading right. That in the Ringer. But here's the thing. The Niners defense, I know the second half didn't play great. But what happens if you got a sack on a third down and you push them back to like fourth and 12? They're not going to go for that. They're going to kick the field goal. And then, boom, you get the ball with the third possession. They just didn't get to the third possession. So I can't crush Shanahan. That's the one thing. There's a lot to crush Shanahan about in this game. That's the one thing that I thought Shanahan was being grossly, like, treated unfairly. And there's no one that's been more critical than Shanahan than me on national radio. Let's go to Travis Kelce. He sings, Viva Las Vegas.
Cheese Kingdom! Y'all hear this? We've been fighting for our right all day. How about a little Viva Las Vegas? Viva!
Maybe he needs to take a singing class from his girlfriend, Taylor Swift. I love the energy, though, from Travis Kelce. When he retires, WWE superstar, Travis Kelce. Jason and Travis Kelce just being a tag team. I don't even watch the WWE. But, Stu, are you a wrestling guy, Stu? No, you're not? Just all your friends are a bunch of wrestling people? I think that would definitely be the move for them to be like tag team champions, Travis and Jason Kelce. Let's go to Mecole Hardman. He caught the game-winning touchdown. Okay, let's go to Brock Purdy. He takes accountability for his poor performance.
When you have a good offense like the Chiefs do and what Mahomes can do, you know, for us, it's like, all right, we have to, you know, score touchdowns. And we had opportunities to do so, I think. Shot ourselves in the foot with, you know, just penalties and the operations and stuff. So I got to be better in terms of, you know, leading the guys and just you know, I think how I handle things in the huddle and telling them, you know, what to expect, stuff like that. So, but yeah, at the end of the day, I think we had the team, the offense to score touchdowns, and I think I failed to put our team in position to do that.
They failed to get the ball in the end zone. He's exactly right. But Kittle's got to show up in that game. Deebo's got to show up in that game as well. And the offensive line in some crucial moments didn't get the job done. Here's Mecole Hardman and his game-winning touchdown catch to win the Super Bowl.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie, man. I caught that pass and I blacked out.
Hey, oh man,
I didn't know what was going on until I seen Pat running to me. I'm like, oh, we just won. Okay, yeah, let's celebrate, you know?
That's the funniest part, because I saw an interview, I think it was on the NFL Network. Mahomes revealed that he told Mecole Hardman that he just won the Super Bowl. It's amazing how all these players have no clue. I remember a few years ago, McNabb didn't know that you could tie in an NFL game. It's amazing that you play this game and you invest so much physically and mentally, and no one has a damn clue, the guys that are playing the game, how overtime actually works. That's the NFL, though. No one knows what pass interference is. No one knows what a catch is. No one knows how to hit the quarterback, and now no one knows how the heck overtime ends. John and Paul, I'll get to you next. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Nobody wants a surprise in their jelly donut.
It's toothpaste?
That's because the middle is the most important part. At Graybar, we're at the middle of electrical and datacom jobs across the country, connecting installers, facility managers, and business owners with smart solutions for their most challenging projects, which means stocking and delivering crucial products on time and on budget, with no surprises, thanks to our nationwide logistics network. Yep, Graybar does that.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort. Coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.